Welcome to Joy of Business with host Simone Millicis, a dynamic business leader with a difference. Simone has founded and operated many businesses from a young age and has always done business differently. Today, Simone is the worldwide coordinator of Access Consciousness and travels the world presenting Joy of Business programs using access tools and empowering people to know that they can create business in a different way and make money doing it. Simone Millicis, weekly on Om Times Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Joy of Business. You're with Simone Millicis, your host. And I have one of my very, 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 very favorite people in the whole entire world on this call with me today. And I'm absolutely thrilled. Dr. Dane here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my great friend Simone. Great to be with you.
And you have no idea. It's been taking us about an hour to get on this pre-record because we are in beautiful Costa Rica at a place called Hotel Manoa. We've just done Access Consciousness Facilitators class, and now we've got a couple of days. We're not off. We're still creating, which I loved it. We were horse riding this morning, and Dane realized that he had an extra day up his sleeve, and he was like, oh, my goodness. What am I going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, yay.
I know. Let's record a show.
Exactly. Except the internet is not the greatest, so it's taken us a while. But here we are. Now, the topic for today is about money. Because this is where we're taking the excerpts from this from my new book called Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. So the idea was I wanted actually people to get to that this is not just me that's been in debt and used Access Consciousness tools and changed stuff. There's a lot of people out there who have changed their point of view around money and changed their situation with money, including yourself, Dan.
True story. Yeah, and you know, I hope we get to get into some of the different points of view that Access presents, if you will.
Absolutely.
And also, I got to tell you, it's like, from the time of first meeting you, you know, having you as the Access Consciousness Worldwide Coordinator as I started becoming a co-creator of Access, it was so interesting to me to find out that you actually enjoyed what you were doing. I grew up in a family business and they hated it. They hated business. They really actually hated money, except for my grandfather who created the business. And I left that experience after having my family lose all of their money with some really strange fixed points of view. And so I hope we can talk about some of that today because some of the things that were really sticking me, I see a lot of people have and they don't seem to know any way out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to start with, exactly what you were talking about, is how did you grow up around money? Like, were you educated about money? Were you allowed to talk about it? Did you have to save it? Did you have any? Were you rich, poor? What was your growing up situation around money?
Well, let's just say most of my young life, it's like the sort of formative years, you know, up until about 10, I actually lived in the ghetto with my mom. So when I say the ghetto, I mean, let's put it this way. The amount of money we had was like this. Our toilet broke at one point. We had to wait almost a month in order to get a plumber out there because we couldn't afford it. And I'm not going to tell you what we did in the meantime. Let's just say we emptied what we should have put in the toilet in the backyard every morning. It's like, hey, going back to olden times. Maybe it was like our castle. I don't know. So there was that. And then on the other side, I had a family that actually had money that was wealthy, but they would never contribute it. They would never give it to me or my mom to make our lives easier. So it set up these really weird points of view about money. And I actually started working from the time I was 11. And I worked in my grandfather's business. I worked in the warehouse. And, you know, it's like, what can an 11-year-old kid do? It's like everything. I mean, I just, you know, I organized the place. I helped clean. I just did whatever was required. It's a great and amazing experience. And what happened, I worked all summer. And I developed several hundreds of dollars, and I was so excited that I carried it with me everywhere I went, and I had it in my bag. We were going to the river where my family, my dad, my stepmom used to vacation, and my stepmother saw it there. She saw these thousands of dollars because I'd cash my checks, and I would hold it in cash, and I was like, this is awesome, you know, and I didn't spend it, man, because I loved having money, right? And she went into my bag and took it and said, a child this young should not have money. And I was 11 or 12 at the time. And it stunted my willingness to have money from that point forward. Well, I mean, obviously I've changed it since, thank God. But it really created this place in my world where I was really conflicted and confused about money, as though I shouldn't have it, as though it was a bad thing. And it was one of those defining moments in my life where money became this really weird thing for me. Whereas before that, I was, you know, it was easy. It was like, yeah, I'd go to work. And literally, I was working. Don't tell anybody, but I was working probably 30 hours a week, you know, at 11 years old. Of course, it was with my grandfather, so that was acceptable and all that. But there's a lot of confusion that used to exist in my world around money. And then when I got to my teenage years, my family that had money and had the family business, the business failed because they weren't willing to look at the future and choose according to creating the future. My grandfather had created the business. He was getting tired. He was also getting tired of supporting my uncle and my father, who basically thought they were entitled to whatever money he had. And so the business failed, literally. And it's interesting because for my family, both sides, the poor side, because the other side of my family pretty much grew up in trailers in different parts of the world. And so money defined them. And then also my quote unquote wealthy side of the family, money defined them. And then when they lost it, oh man, it was the most trauma and drama you could imagine. And that went on for years. The fact that they had lost all their money and they couldn't create it and they couldn't create the business they wanted to. And so, I mean, talk about utter confusion. But the other thing that it did, and this is part of what I really want to bring up in all of this, is what I learned to do was to try to bring order to the chaos that was my family's world around money, because they were both chaotic. One side of it hardly ever had any, and then when they did, they would lose it, they would squander it. It's like they would invest with some guys that I have a machine that's going to create free energy. Give me $10,000. And like, well, I have five, but I could get all my family together and they could give me their savings, and they would find ways of getting rid of it. So I thought my job was actually to bring order to the chaos. And I did that rather well, as in for me saving and that sort of thing, putting 10% away, continuously making sure that I had money to the best of my ability. But what it did is it limited the creativity so dynamically. It limited my willingness to jump off the cliff when there was a possibility there, because I'm like, we're all going to die. You know, the business is going to go away. And so I had functioned like that in Access until very recently. And so one of the things I want to let people know is chaos and order exist. Neither one is wrong. And be willing to embrace the chaos potential and the chaotic possibilities that can be had with money, and stop trying to do so much control of everything.
I love you, Dane, so much. You've just spoken about so many different things. And the one thing that I really wanted people to get out of, you know, listening to this and reading this, because we want to put a little chapter in my book about it, is how people grew up with money, what their parents, what their grandparents, what their family, their culture, whatever it is, the point of view that they had around money. And then I see so many people buy it as theirs when it's not. And the one thing you've mentioned a couple of times already is the confusion that you had around money. Can you talk a little bit about the confusion? Yet I still see, no matter what confused you, you still manage to create your own reality around money.
Yeah, and just what you said, you still manage to create your own reality. I think a lot of us out there, we actually have our own reality around money that's different than our family, that's different than what we grew up with, that's different than our boyfriends and our girlfriends and our husbands and our wives and the people we grew up around and our friends. But we've never even taken a moment to acknowledge that and to acknowledge the difference of that, but also the greatness in that. And that really, for me, has been huge, because it's like, I was always willing to do whatever it took to create what I wanted. And I wouldn't steal from somebody or, you know, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, I was willing to do whatever it took, as far as I would work as hard as I needed to or as much as I needed to. And in that, I finally found, and literally, this is really funny, because I've been, you know, a co-creator of Access Consciousness, as you know, you know, for about as long as you've been the worldwide coordinator. You know,
oh my God, you actually would not be where it's at today if it wasn't for you, Dane, that's for sure.
And if it wasn't for you, you know, and we've been on this journey together, and, you know, and I know you've seen a lot of the places where my past sort of kicked in to create limitation, but it's interesting now to see where me stepping into my own reality regarding money and finances is actually starting to move things forward at a really dynamic rate.
I do actually, I really notice that. It's like when all of us have a point of view that is willing to expand everything does expand. And the one thing I've noticed, I just did a radio show with Gary and now with you, and then I also noticed myself, is the three of us, one thing that we have in common is we were pretty much willing to do anything to make money.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't like, oh, no, I won't do that, or that's below me, or this is, you know, I'm not qualified. It was like, give it a shot. Like, let's just do it. Let's
exactly.
see what shows up, you know?
Exactly. Might as well try it, you know? The worst that can happen is you fail, you lose all your money, or the thing doesn't take off. And we've tried thousands of things in the last 16 years, you know, especially with Access, because it's so different than what is in the mainstream that it's like you got to try as many things as you can because the mainstream stuff doesn't work for us. And which is great. It's an amazing gift. You know, I'm reminded of Richard Branson. It's like he looked and went, well, there's the mainstream and this other place over here is where I'm going. And, you know, look at what he's created in the world. He's created waves in the world in every industry he's ever chosen to go into. Well, at least the ones we know about. There are probably, you know, hundreds he tried to go into that it didn't actually work. And he's like, okay, on to the next thing. And I think that's one of the other really big things we need to get is, okay, if this doesn't work, something else will. Do not give up. Never stop. Never quit. Never give in. And don't allow yourself to be stopped by anybody. And what's so vital and essential is that you start getting your reality around money. And for me, one of the things that I realized was when I changed the word money to cash, somewhere in my world, that makes more sense. So when a lot of people talk about money, but they have no idea what the heck it is. And so for me, I started going, okay, rather than money, what I'm going to start asking for is cash. I'm going to start asking to create cash. Now, does it show up in dollar bills and that? No, not necessarily. But when I put it in terms of cash, for me, that's something more tangible. It's not just blips on a computer screen. And it's not this weird sort of probably nefarious concept that I bought from a very young age. And so it gives me a different possibility. And for me, that feels a lot more creative.
I like that. And it's a really interesting point that you make there is that most people don't even know what money is. And so if we talk about it, and in this reality, it's like you've got to go out there and make money. It's like, well, how much money did you make? But in truth, it's like if you put it into a concept that you personally receive, which, as Dane mentioned, is about starting to create your own reality, starting to create your own financial reality, what's going to work for you? Because I know what works for me is completely different to what works for Dane. What works for Brendan, what works for Gary, what works for Katerina, who's in the room, what works for Liam, who's in the room. We have a bit of an audience here. So we're off to our next break, but don't go away, because Dane and I are not. We're going to be back real soon. Join us on Joy Business on Om Time.
What if every moment of every day you had more choice, more tools, more allowance of you? What if joy was your priority? If this is the kind of life you'd like to create, you can join Simone Millicis on the Adventure of Living series, a worldwide telecall where every month you can explore different topics using the Access Consciousness tools and processes to change any area of your life you think is not working for you. Business, money, parenting, bodies, relationships, the list goes on. And what if it did not have to? If your life was the adventure of living, what would you create it as? For more information and to sign up, go to accesstheadventureofliving.com.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're with Simone Millicent and my awesome, awesome friend Dane here. And we're in Costa Rica. And we have a little bit of an audience here, too. Brendan, Liam, and Katarina, three good friends of ours. So if they have anything they want to chime in, pipe up, ask Dane a question, I'm more than willing for them to jump on, because this is about, you know, having fun with the radio show, which is about money as well. Money is about having fun. And one of the things that I know, it's crazy. It's out of this world.
What?
One of my favorite sayings, which I quote continuously, Dane, is when you said, money doesn't follow joy. Joy follows money.
No.
Joy doesn't follow money. Money follows joy. See, look, even I got it twisted. Hang on, wait a minute. Stop. So can you talk a little bit more about that and how you first sort of came to that recognition?
Well, yeah, and that's, I don't even remember where I first came to it. The only thing I did notice is my poor side of the family, who I literally remember being in a car with four of my family members, and we were driving in this car that really needed work, but nobody could pay for it. What a friggin' story. Jeez, it's so funny because I'm so not like that. But anyway, so we're driving behind somebody in a Mercedes, a convertible Mercedes, and I looked in my mind, and it was so funny because the moment I looked and in my mind, I went, that's friggin' awesome. I cannot wait to have one of those someday. And I was, once again, probably young teens. And one of my family members said, and I looked and went, that car's awesome. And one of my aunts said to me, Dane, those rich people aren't happy. And I looked at around at the family that I was living in and how unhappy living with and looked at how unhappy they were. And I was like,
I'll give it a go.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, it couldn't be any worse than this, you know? And so what I started to realize in my own life was those days when I was depressed and unhappy and didn't want to get up, no money came in. I recognized it when I was a chiropractor. If I was depressed and unhappy, if I didn't have the energy of life and living and the enthusiasm for being alive, which, by the way, was why I became a chiropractor in the first place. I wanted to bring this energy to people, right? And if I didn't have that, I noticed nobody wanted to sign up for care. People were like, why would I want what you're having, right? And so what I started realizing is truly money follows joy. The happier you are, the more money you're going to make. And it's interesting because I know we all know lots of people who have lots of money who are so unhappy. And I look at that, you know, and at this point, I'm so friggin' blessed. It's like I pretty much travel business class. And when I'm lucky enough, first class, wherever I go, because that's joyful for me. But what I've noticed, and even when I didn't have the money for it, like when it wasn't like an ease to pay for it, I still did because it brought me so much joy. I knew it was bringing more money and I could feel it. And I think we all can. And I think we've cut it off since the time we were little kids. But one of the things I noticed is, you know, and there was some lady that we worked with, Chutissa, who, you know, she said, I was born to turn left. Hello. You know, which I love that phrase, because if you're out there and you're struggling with money or just don't have as much as you desire, it's like maybe one of the missing elements is the joy in your life. And maybe one of the missing elements is the joy that you have with money and with cash, like we talked about before. And so one of the things I noticed in traveling in business class was how many people were angry, we're pissed off, we're totally superior, we're total assholes, and pretending like everybody should kiss their ass because they had money. They weren't happy. They weren't being nice to the flight attendants. They weren't grateful for the fact that they get free drinks. They weren't. And I looked at that and I went, how does this exist? These people have what everybody else desires, supposedly, okay? They think they have what everybody else desires, which is the money, but they don't have any of the joy to go with it. And it's interesting because I've seen so many people like that. And I'm like, I don't get, I mean, I get it because I've seen it so much, and I get that that's the way so much of our world functions. But in reality, for me, it's like, truly, the money is not about the money. It's like, hey, what, and I love Gary's thing that he said, and he said this in the, one of the first classes I did with him. He said, look, the purpose of money is to change people's realities for the greater. And I went, that's fucking cool. That finally I've got somebody who actually has a similar point of view. Because I was always trying to do that, even as a little kid, you know. I talked about working when I was a kid, and I would have money in my pocket, and there'd be somebody begging on the street. And if they weren't just doing it, if it didn't look like they were just doing it to fill their pockets, if they really had a need in their world, I'd be like, here's 10 bucks. And this is back in the day when 10 bucks is like a billion, you know, back in the day when 10 bucks actually meant something. And I would give it to them because my sense was, hey, it might change their world. I don't know. And the funny part was every time I did something like that and I gave them $10, I would get at least 10 back. I remember one time where I was walking down the street. I was actually going to buy because I had actually saved up this money. And I had like 20 bucks, and I was going to buy because there was this candy that I wanted, and there was this toy that I wanted, and this candy, and there were like 25 things I was going to buy with my 20 bucks. God, remember those days? Anyway, so and here I am, and there was this guy who came up, and you could feel the need in his world, and he was like, hey, dude, do you have any money? And I'm a freaking, you know, yeah, once again, young kid, teenager, not even teenager yet, and I'm like, huh. And I get a big smile on my face. So I'm like, sure, here you go. And I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm not going to go buy my candy and my toys right now. So I started walking back home. I literally turned the corner. There was a friggin' $20 bill on the floor. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And so the thing that the joy gives you is this sense of the magic of life and living. It truly can show up like that. And most of us have forgotten it, you know, if we had it when we were little kids. But if you can get back to that, money shows up from the strangest places.
You know, as you're talking, Dane, I completely forgot about this story, and this was way before Access. And I remember being in a bank in Byron Bay, Australia. A bank in Byron Bay, Australia. There you go. Say that 10 times fast. Exactly. Bank in Byron Bay, Australia. And this guy was trying to get money out of the bank and inside, and they said, you don't have any money in your bank account. And I remember standing at the teller next to him, and I looked at him. I completely forgot about this story for years. But I looked at him and said, how much money do you need? And he said, $50. And I gave him $50. And then I walked out, and I forgot that I did that. But it wasn't from what am I going to get from this? It was just like I could see this guy really stressed out because he needed $50, and it wasn't in his bank account. I had $50, and I also didn't have a great deal of money at that time, but I still had $50. So I remember giving it to him and not thinking about it afterwards. But the energy I do get is that it was joyful.
Yeah.
It was thrilling for me to actually give that $50 for him.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly that. And this is the thing that I think is so vital that we get is it's not about the amount of money that you have. It's about the joy that whatever you do with it or gift with it brings you. And that's the same thing with me. I had 20 bucks. I gave away my 20 bucks, you know? And that's the thing. And it's interesting because when I first met Gary, it was like he didn't have a huge amount of money. He was doing okay financially, but he was also having sources that were draining it faster than he could make it. And he's no longer married to those sources. Anyway, I digress. But what happened was, like, we would go somewhere and do something. You would have thought he was a billionaire because of the generosity of spirit that he had. And this is the thing, the generosity of spirit that you can have with money and with cash and gifting and also the way you are in the world is another element of what brings money and cash to you. Because what happens is when you have that generosity of spirit, it's like you're open to give. And what we don't realize is gifting and receiving occur simultaneously. Most of us have tried to exclude them. We've tried to put it into gifting and receiving or giving and receiving, or what most of us actually have as our point of view is give and take. And I get that that's the way the world functions, but it's not the way you have to function. And so you, me, pretty much the entire Access team, it's like we have this thing that is this generosity of spirit where it brings us joy to give something to somebody else. It gives us joy to see somebody wearing something wonderful that they look great in. They're like, damn, baby, you look hot today. boy or girl, doesn't matter. But what that does is that that actually creates an energy of receiving from the universe itself. And any, and when I say the universe, I don't mean the airy fairy, the universe. What I mean is we're all part of the fucking universe, you know? And so it's not just the universe, but you get your cash pretty much through other people and through other places. And that creates an energy where that inflow can continue to occur because of the simultaneity of gifting and receiving, because it's not a give and take world. We've just created it that way.
So one of the things, Dan, that I've noticed when I've done radio shows on this topic with certain people is that the one thing that comes up is the energy that we be or the energy that we choose not to be. And as you grew up, I mean, you talk about you had two different families, right? One who didn't have money and one who did have money. And it's like, and the energy of both of those were different, and yet you wouldn't have said that, like, the family that had money was, like, giving you money freely.
Right. Right.
It was like, so what's the difference did you notice on the energy growing up with money? And did you ever buy into it, or did you create your own reality? Like, is there any, you know, defining moments that you get that where you had the awareness of what the energy around money can create or doesn't create? And I'm just going to tell you right now, because we've got like 1 minute to go, so let's leave them with a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And we'll come
good
back.
Idea. Okay, so the answer to your question is yes.
okay, bye.
Okay, bye. And now let's go to break. But basically what it was for me was the family that had no money had this pride in poverty. And I see a lot of people having that.
Pride and poverty. Yeah.
Yeah. Pride and poverty is one of the biggest things I see people who continuously reject money have, because it's like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I have to suffer. And it's like, you don't have to hold that crap in place anymore. What is the value of that? Just because your family had it doesn't mean you have to. Now, with the side of the family that had money, no, they were penurious also. They just had a nicer lifestyle, except for my grandfather, who was the one that created the business in the first place, who was the one that actually created huge amounts of cash and money that the rest of the family, my dad, uncle, grandmother, the rest of the family later basically spent and dwindled down to almost nothing. But the recognition of that changed my world, because he had a generosity of spirit and he was willing to gift continuously and he always got more.
So I'm gonna, when we come back, I'm going to ask you more about your grandfather, actually, because that's the energy that I get. Actually create a different reality. So thank you for being with us. We'll be back really soon. One of my best mates, Dane here.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
What if there were an easy way to let go of all the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that keep you stuck in your head without any effort? Join the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, and co-creator, Dr. Dane here, for a one-of-a-kind global class to learn the Buzz, a process that effortlessly and easily releases the electromagnetic charge of what holds the thoughts, feelings, and emotions in your body. Participate live in Houston, Texas, or via livestream on October 7th. Access Bars have helped tens of thousands of people change many aspects of their life. Are you ready for a brain reset? Visit globalbars.com.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're with Simone Millicent on Joy Business, and I'm just telling everyone, quiet on the set. So, but like I said before, if any of you guys have a question for our lovely friend Dane, you're more than welcome to ask. Back to me and talking to Dane. Yeah, go on. Try and get a quick word in with me and Dane. Not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So I actually, you know, it's funny. I've known you for quite a long time now, and I have heard you talk about your grandfather. But whenever you talk about the different families and the way you grew up and the way you talk about your grandfather, it's, again, I'm going to use the E word, it's a different energy.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your grandfather? What was the business and how was he with that? And what are some of the maybe projections and expectations that were directed at him? And what, how do you see that he was, that he beed with that?
There are so many stories there, but my grandfather...
We got time.
Okay, good. My grandfather had an inherent generosity of spirit. And as I was growing up, he was the one who came to me and he said, and I handed him my report card one day and he went, okay. And he handed me back $600. And this is when I was in high school. And I said, and I got these big eyes because I like cash, right? I love money. I'm like, this is awesome. This is so cool. And my eyes got really big and I was like, what's that for? He said, for all the A's you got, I got 6 out of 6 A's.
Right.
And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, and every time you get an A, I'll give you $100, and for a B, I'll give you 50. Guess who got straight A's all the way through high school?
Dang, yeah.
That's right. And what, you know, it's so interesting. You don't really realize sometimes what affected you in life until somebody asks you to tell the story about it.
Right.
It's happening right now. I'm going through a lot of things where I realize that a huge amount of the financial reality I'm able to have right now was from what I saw him being.
Yeah.
That nobody in our family gave him credit for. And nobody acknowledged as greatness, and he truly had a greatness in this area. And so that one thing, that generosity of spirit, was just amazing to me, but also the willingness to give away cash, quote unquote, give away money. And it wasn't like give it away to do something not useful. He knew when it would change somebody's reality. He had the same point of view Gary does.
Well, I'd have to say, the same point of view you have too, and also the empowerment that goes with that. Like, he wasn't giving it away to you. He was empowering you to be everything that you be.
Yeah, and what he did with that first report card in high school was show me something that I wanted to actually work for and choose, and I literally got pretty much straight A's. There were probably 2 B-pluses I got in high school, but everything else was basically really good grades. And that was part of the motivation, but it wasn't just I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it because somebody was actually acknowledging me with this gift and seeing me and seeing that it had value, because I would bring home the report card to my dad, my stepmother, and they would look at it and go, oh, cool, I'll sign it to prove that I've seen it. And there was no energy. There was no enthusiasm. There was no, wow, Dane, great job. We could never do this, you know? And so what it did is it made me be willing to reach for more. And I think, once again, that's one of the things that we can do with our money is contribute it to people that allows them to reach for more. And so it's interesting because my grandfather's family business, he called it Robotronics. And
right.
It was Robotronics. And people would always call and go, do you have robots? He's like, no, we don't really do that. They sold and serviced office machines. But he saw this need that could be filled at a very young age. Created this business when nobody else had a business doing that, had all kinds of large clients, large banks, institutions, and that sort of thing, back in the day when they needed typewriters and copiers and that sort of thing. Well, as it started to evolve into the computer age, he wanted to get into it, and my uncle and father, who had sort of had an interest in the business at the time, were like, no, we can't do this, blah, blah, blah. They weren't willing to see the future, and that's another thing that he had. He was willing to see the future and look at what his choices would create business-wise and personal-wise and do what he could to create the greatest result. And I see a lot of people don't, number one, they don't realize they have that capacity. And I think a lot of that is because they're stuck in their family's old financial realities. But the other thing is, at one point, my uncle actually created a thing that, you know how Kinko's, at least in the United States, and I know it's, you know, in lots of places in the world, but Kinko's is basically like one-stop office, you know, where if you need to rent space, if you need a copy machine, if you're a copy, you know, copies made, if you need this banner printed, blah, blah, blah. My uncle actually created that about 15 years before Kinko's came along, but he was so committed to not having money and so committed to destroying himself and proving that he was right for his fixed points of view that it failed. Now, you can say he was before his time. He was. But he also, if he had had the drive that my grandfather had, you would be talking to a multi-billionaire right now, because he actually created that concept before anybody else in the world did. And so, it's like looking at all of these things financially. I see where a lot of points of view came from, both good and bad, or both expansive and limited. But then the other thing that is actually really imperative is now going beyond it all, going beyond all the past. It's like, cool, I had this from my mom and mom's side of the family. I had this from my dad's side of the family. I had this insanity over here of the poverty. I had this insanity of the unwillingness to have the money when they had the money and losing it and making it be destroyed. And you know what? What would I like to create today? Yeah, I got all this. And what I would suggest that people do is actually go back and write down what are the greatnesses that you learned from the people around you when you were growing up about money. What awarenesses did you get that you've never really acted on, never acknowledged are there? And then also, what are the limitations? And, if you know access tools, you take every one of those limitations and you go, everything that created that, destroy and create that shit, right, wrong, good and bad, bottom, buck, all nine, shirts, boys, and beyond. And go down that entire list and do it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times until you look at it and you no longer have a charge on it. Because what's really required is not just looking at our past and reliving it and looking at it going, well, that's why I have that point of view. Okay, good. I'm going to go have that point of view some more. But wow, if it's a point of view that's a limitation, wow, that's cool. Now I know at least some part of why I have that point of view. Now I'm going to go beyond it. And I hate to say it, but my point of view about these points of view and our limitations from the past, you know what? Fuck it. Yes, I lived that. My story. I experienced some horrendous abuse when I was growing up, physical, mental, emotional, and having pretty much everybody around me hate me for a lot of my life. My stepmother, the family I lived with in the ghetto with my mom, and okay, fine, great, I lived that. Now what? Now what do I want to create with my life today? I've got this 10 seconds to live the rest of my life. What am I going to choose from here? Not, I have this, so I need to carry this forward. There it is. Now what can I do to go beyond it?
You know what, Jane, you're so brilliant. And it's like, as I listen to you talk, I'm asking these questions in my head and you're answering them anyway, or giving the listeners the things. Because what I see so many people doing is, as you said, they get stuck in their family's point of view rather than, this is my desire, is to get people out of what they're stuck in with their family's point of view. It's not yours, and it's like using it as a reason and justification. You've given away a couple of tools already about how people can change that. Is there any other sort of really pragmatic tools that you could give that people can, like people listening going, yeah, he did that, she did that, but what about me? And you know what? You have a reason justification for why you're not creating it, creating something different, a different energy, a different point of view around money. So is there anything else that you can add to that to enlighten people, empower them to choose something different around money and around their lives?
Absolutely. And I'm totally serious when I say this. Buy Simone's new book. Exactly. I know it sounds like a shameless plug and commercial, whatever, but that's why we're having this conversation, so you can give people these tools. But one of the things you want to recognize, what I would suggest is write down this question. What is it that sticks me most about money and cash from my past? And write a friggin' novel if you have to. And then pock and pot it and then burn the fucking thing. Okay? That was your past. And you got it. And here's the other thing that I would like you to look at and maybe write it down if you're willing to. And I know a lot of the people listening to this show probably will write it down. I know a lot of the people we deal with in Access might write it down, might not. I don't know. Humanoids don't tend to write down a lot of things. But what you want to look at is, what is the gift that me living that gave me? Because we keep looking at it as though it's a curse. It's not. I have an inherent awareness of how people who have very little money function. I have an inherent awareness of their insecurities and their desires and their sense that they can't do it. Well, what's my job in the world? Facilitating people to get out of that shit. So that inherent awareness that I got, I don't know if I could do what I do without the abuse I experienced. I probably could, but not in the way that I do it, not in the way that really works for me and kind of an intense way sometimes, But it's like, and also with the financial stuff, it's like, given what I experienced, it's like I've got a place from which I can speak that allows me to do what I'm here to do in the world. And what I've looked at with the hundreds of thousands of people we've had come through Access and the time you and I have both been here is that everybody has something that they're doing here. Everybody has something that their life has contributed to them being here and doing here. Once you start to get on the tail or the trail of that gift, things start to change dramatically because you come out of the judgment of what you experienced, and then you start looking at the gift of what you experienced, and then you start looking at, wow. And then the other last question, maybe we shall see. My brain tends to go 20 miles an hour.
Which I love.
Yeah, because yours does too. It's, how can I create money with this? How can I create money with this? How can I use this to create money? How can I use this to create money in cash, actually, is how I would put it.
So you're actually using your childhood, using the way you grew up, using the culture, the family, everything to your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. And using whatever other tools you have. You know, and if you want to write a few more things down, you might want to write down what other tools and gifts do I have that will allow me to create a lot of money, more money in cash than I ever thought I could. And write down what else you have. I mean, do you look good in a pair of high heels? You know, because if you do, people are going to be willing to pay more attention to you.
Do you?
I'm not going to say anything, but let's just say I'm a man who can walk in high heels. Right?
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, I think that's probably a different show. Not that I do it often, although I did wear yours in Australia about 10 years ago and stretch them out, and I still apologize for that. when in a class show and people had a walk in high heels, which was funny for them to receive that from a man. But anyway, there's part of this thing about not taking yourself so damn seriously. You know, we do this so much. And what you were talking about in the very beginning of the show about the lightness, about doing it from the joy, you know, and you have Joy of Business as one of your businesses and also a book. And when I heard about that, when I saw you doing business from joy, it was exactly that. It was like not taking yourself so seriously, having a lot more fun. Do what is fun and don't take yourself so damn seriously. And you'll start to actually create more money than you ever thought possible.
So thank you so much, Dane. We're going to go up to another break, and when we come back, I'm actually going to ask you some stuff about the future, because you've mentioned that a couple of times, about creating for your future, with your future, as your future. Don't go away. I'll be back really soon. You're with Dr. Dane here and Simone Miller on Joy of Business.
What does it take to create a great relationship? Simone Millicis and her partner of 6 adventurous years, Brendan Watt, are offering a one-of-a-kind teleclass with pragmatic tips and practices for creating conscious relationships. What if you and your partner could thrive and create greater in the world together? This teleclass asks you the question you may not have asked yourself. Do you even really want a relationship? And if so, how can you create it? Learn more and purchase the class at accessjoyofbusiness.com/relationship. Start using the tips from this class today and start creating more conscious relationships. accessjoyofbusiness.com/relationship.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Joy Business Radio Show. You're with Simone Millis, your host, and my wonderful friend, Dr. Dane here. Now, one of the things I wanted to actually talk to you about, too, with money and getting out of debt joyfully, is you've mentioned a couple of times the future. And over the times that I've known you, I was actually talking to someone today, and they said, did you know that Dane used to only charge like $25 a session or $75 for unlimited sessions or something like that?
Yeah.
And they were saying that was so amazing to them that that's where you were, because people see you now and it's like, okay, you're successful, you have money, you're known throughout the world. I mean, Access Consciousness is in 173 countries. You're, you know, you have the fame and the fortune, but that's not where you actually started out at. And what I wanted to ask you was, how did you see about creating your future, and what was the energy that you were, that you had to be, what did you choose when you decided to actually start charging more for you, beginning to receive more money in your life for what you actually do and be?
Yeah, well, when I started, it is true, I was charging $25 a session for my chiropractic sessions. And what people got as change, most of the people got what they're willing to pay for 25 bucks, which was like a movie, you know. And it was like, oh, that was a nice entertainment, thanks so much, and they would leave. And then came Gary Douglas, who walked into my office. He's like, you're charging way too little for what you do. But I did a session on him, and he said, look, this literally saved my life. And I was like, really? Me? Because my level of insecurity at the time was off the charts. And so it's been a, you know, I'll say it's been a process of, you know, over the last 16 years. And the thing that people don't realize is they'll see somebody who has a level of success or who has a level of wealth or who has a level of anything that they think they desire, and they don't realize how long it took them to get there. They don't realize how many mistakes they made. They don't realize how many insecurities they had to overcome. And so what I want to say to people is, wherever you are right now, start and get this sense of, you know, if you could put the energy in front of you of what it would be like to make maybe, I don't know, 3 to 4 times what you're making now, and get the energy of that, and get the energy of what it would be like to travel around the world if you wanted to, or at least have the time and the money to travel. Get the energy of what it would be like to not just pay your bills, but to have a level of wealth and financial abundance that you like, and extra cash in the bank and in your mattress or wherever you keep it at home. And
is that a hint, Dan, where you keep yours?
There's a reason I have a king-size bed. Let's put it that way. And it's actually for the comfort of it. And also get the sense of what it would be like to be doing something that was actually contributing to people and that changed all the time, where you got to work with fun people and actually enjoy your life and living, and get the sense of that energy, and then pull energy into it from all over the universe, and let little trickles go out to everyone and everything is going to help make it a reality for you that you don't even know yet. Now, that's an exercise in the Being You, Changing the World book that I wrote. And it really is about being you, what it is uniquely for you that would be that energy if all of these things were to show up. And then anything that feels like that, head in that direction. And people don't realize that there's something that will actually guide them, that is actually their awareness, their connection with everything that is, if you will. And what's so funny is successful business people seem to do this naturally. And then a lot of them poo-poo the energetic stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but here's what you're doing energetically. And they go, yeah, no, energy. Don't say the word energy. Thanks a lot. But I'm like, guys, we...
Energy.
Exactly. And so this thing, if you can get the sense of that, starts to create you being willing to head into the future. So you pull energy into that from all over the universe until it gets really big and really big, and ask the universe to freaking contribute. But here's the thing. I see a lot of people saying universe as though it's something outside of them. You're part of the fucking universe. So recognize that this is you asking for something based on you being connected to it, and then let little trickles go out to everyone, and everything is going to help make it a reality for you. And in so doing, what you start doing is creating the energetic future you would like to have. And the weird part and wonderful part about it is all the parts and pieces of what that would be like to create that energy start coming to you. But you have to be willing to receive them when they show up. And this is where we get into this thing, you know, where I talked about I kept trying to order the chaos of my family. So when something would show up and it was too big, quote unquote, I'd be like, oh no, I can't do that. How could, rather than asking a question, and this is the next thing you want to do, is when something shows up, it's not, I can't do that, but how can I do that? And this really is the functional point of view. How can I do this? How can I create this? Actually, probably how is not your best choice. Probably what would it take for me to do this? What would it take for me to create this? And so now, rather than being in that mode of the insecurity of what I can't do and what I can't create, and the other thing that people do, sorry, I've got ADD, ADHD, OCD.
Oh, I love it, Dan. It's wonderful.
I'm like, there's 12,000 things that always want to be said, and I don't have enough channels on
my mouth.
Well,
the funny thing is, I've got all these questions coming into my head as well, and I ask them in my head, and then you go, blah, 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 and then
nice to be connected.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah, exactly. But one of the other things I see people do is they automatically decide they can't do it before they even start, or a new possibility shows up, and they decide they can't do it before they even start. So this is one of the places where we stop ourselves so dynamically. And if you look at my life, I've got plenty of reasons to say no. I got plenty of reasons to stop myself. I've got plenty of reasons why I shouldn't be able to do it. But I've got to say, thanks to Access and the Access Consciousness tools, because that's really this amazing treasure trove of tools to change things. Thanks to that and my closeness with you, my closeness with Gary, my friends who actually have my back and who will be there for me when I realize I have a limitation and I want to change it, like thanks to all of that, it's like my past doesn't rule my future anymore. And I think this is one of the biggest difficulties people have is their past rules their future. A great possibility shows up and they go, no, it's too chaotic. It's too much. Well, guess what? Chaos is creation. And the thing about chaos, we keep thinking order is good and chaos is bad. Consciousness includes everything and judges nothing, which is why it's Access Consciousness that we do. It includes everything and judges nothing. I mean, if you look at it for a moment, the internal combustion engine, you know, the thing that powers your darn car, it functions on chaos. Explosions in your engine are what drive your car. If you tried to eliminate the chaos completely, your car would not move anymore. Same thing with the car of your life. What you want to do is you want to take the chaos and order it as well as you can to create a coherence between chaos and order that allows you to move forward. And I say that, and a lot of people go,
I'm like, I'm a girl. What happens with my car?
Girl, what
color is it?
Exactly. But this is the beauty of it. This is exactly how it works. You don't have to know how it works, but you have to be willing to stop trying to avoid the chaos that shows up and the things that you think are too much and the things you think are out of control, because maybe out of control is exactly what you require to take your next step.
Or what you mentioned before, it's like the places where you have these so-called insecurities that you have created as real, or the things that you've created that you look at as mistakes, but they're not really, or the reasons, like you said, you have a zillion reasons of why you shouldn't be something as great as you are. And yet the one thing I always see with you, Dane, is you continuously choose something greater, no matter what it takes and no matter what it looks like. So what can you sort of offer to people in these last, like what questions can people ask if they're listening to this going, oh, yeah, yeah, this guy can do it, but how can I do it?
Just recognize I didn't know I could do it. I didn't think I could do it either, but I was willing to try. And that's what you really need to be willing to do is go for it. You know, the worst that can happen is it won't work. Well, guess what? How many other things have you done that haven't worked? You know, and the other thing that we do is it's like every one of those things that are our insecurities and those places where we say no are a place where we're trying to order something from our past, every single one of those. And if you looked at that and went, okay, am I trying to order something here? Everything that makes me do that, destroy and uncreate it.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, chores, boys, and beyond.
That. And really, everything that makes me try to order this. And once again, you may have to say that clearing statement 10 times, maybe 10, 20 times. But recognize that you trying to order your past is stopping you from creating your future.
Thank you so much, Dane. I could do this all day with you. You are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's funny, we were talking about, he's like, buy her book, buy Dane's book. I mean, on Gary's call, I was talking about the book that Dane and Gary both wrote, Money Isn't the Problem, You Are, which I love the title. And that literally, in that book, the tools in that book got me out of debt. And Dane's book, Being You, Changing the World, guess what it's about? Oh, yeah, Being You, Changing the World. Please check out Dane's website as well. You can find him on accessconsciousness.com, and you can also find him on drdanehere.com, beingyoubook.com. Just search Being You, Changing the World. And Dane does these phenomenal classes around the world. They're 3.5 days, Being You, Changing the World. Come along and meet this guy. He's like, I am just so friggin' grateful for you, Dane, and everything that you have been for me in the last 16 years since I've known you, and everything that you continuously be, and the changes that you make and the choices that you make. Just thank you.
Thank
you. So we have about 30 seconds to go. Anything you want to leave the listeners with?
First, that gratitude is so mutual. Second, guys, you can do this. You can change your stars. Truly, you can change anything. And what if you truly being you are the gift, the change, and the possibility this world requires? Are you choosing to know that? Because you are that.
I like that. What if you are the gift that the world requires? Oh, I did the same thing with Gary. We've got one more minute.
Oh, well, there you go.
One more minute.
What else can we talk about?
Exactly. But you know what? You can make a change in the world. And my point of view is nobody has to have a problem with money.
Yep.
You really don't. And it's like if you change your point of view, you look at the energy, what you can be with the energy, what you can change, and choose, anything is possible.
And that really is where Access Consciousness comes in. So your point of view creates your reality. Reality does not create your point of view. This changes your point of view, so your reality shows up differently. You don't have to suffer with money. I'm with you. Everybody can change the money situation. You've done it.
You've done it.
You know, we've seen so many people who come back that have done it, but you have to actually be willing to do it. You have to actually be willing to do the work. It's not a magic pill, but it sure functions like a friggin' magic wand sometimes.
Thank you so much, Dane. Wonderful to go off on that. You have to make the demand for you to change everything you possibly can. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.